All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2, for the message this morning. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use it. Luke, chapter 2. And I'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read a very familiar Christmas passage, but one I think will be a blessing to you this morning. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." All right, I want you to keep your Bible open here. And I want to have you look at verse 15 again. And you will notice here in the first part of the verse, it says that it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them in heaven. When the angels were gone. I want you to think about that phrase with me this morning. And I want to preach a message that I'm going to entitle, When the Angels Were Gone. When the angels were gone. Let's think on that subject this morning. Pray with me, please, and then the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, realizing that these are not men's words, these are your words, God's words. And I pray that you will bless this morning as we think about what this 15th verse tells us. When the angels were gone away. And Father, I think this was an hour of crisis for these shepherds. I think that this was a pivotal point. And so I pray that you will help us this morning as we think on these things. And may the Word of God impact our hearts this morning. If there is even one person in this room who does not know the Lord as personal Savior, may they realize their need of Christ today. And Father, I pray that you will stir the hearts of your people. And I pray that we'll leave here this morning rejoicing in what we've allowed you to do in our hearts. Bless now, we pray. Fill me with your Spirit and help me as I preach. I need your help this morning. So bless us richly now, we ask. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. And amen. All right, if you will look at that 15th verse, you will notice a statement in the first part of the verse. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven." Now, folks, I submit to you that this moment, this very moment when this happened, when the angels were gone, after what they just witnessed, and now the angels are gone, I submit to you that this was an hour of crisis. What will they do now? When the angels were gone, what are they going to do? Without doubt, the hour of testing was upon them. Now, just think about it for a second. It was easy for them to listen to the church service that they had just been to. Right? I don't think that it would have been difficult to pay attention. A choir of angels singing praises to God. Wow. The night sky lit up, filled with a multitude of angels. I guarantee you, they had never heard anything like this before. They had never seen anything like this before. And then, as I've told you before, when I read the Bible, I often just try to visualize, put myself in the scene. And when I put myself in this scene, standing on that hillside, and I've been to the fields of Boaz many times, I know what it looks like in my mind. And as I sit there and see them standing, I see them mesmerized by God's ministering spirits singing in perfect pitch, in perfect harmony. But not only did they see the angels, but they also heard a sermon. And if you look back at verse 9, you will see the preacher that night. And the preacher that night, Luke tells us, is none other than the angel of the Lord. Now, who's the angel of the Lord? Well, the angel of the Lord is Christ. Imagine that. If you will look over, you know, the Bible interprets the Bible. Look at the last part of verse 15, where they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The preacher that night was the Lord Jesus. He was also the one who was in the manger. The one in the manger was God in the flesh. The one behind the pulpit preaching that night was God. Wow. What a service. Can you imagine? I see those guys standing there, their eyes this big. I see them standing there, their mouths this wide open. They had never seen anything like this. So just think of it. The first Christmas sermon was preached by the Savior himself. Now, it was easy to listen to the music, but I guarantee you it was easy to listen to the sermon as well. Listening to the sermon really doesn't take a whole lot of effort. Anybody can sit and listen to a sermon if that sermon has been thought out and is organized and is delivered with any passion at all. And this one was not a long sermon. I know some of you are sitting there saying, "Pastor, why don't you follow the example?" So it would have been easy to sit there and listen to the service. The test comes after the choir and after the sermon is delivered and the congregation has been dismissed and you find yourself back out in the real world. My text says in verse 15, when the angels were gone away. And so my question is, what happened then? Were the shepherds any better for the sermon and the song they heard that night? Were they any better off because heaven opened up and allowed them to see how joyous everyone up in heaven was because of what had happened just a few yards up the mountain on that night? Wow, what a wonderful experience this was for these shepherds. It was the first Christmas service ever held. But then when you think about it, actually, it was the first Christian service ever held. Oh, there's been millions of them since, and we're adding one more to the list this morning, but this one was the first one. Held on a hillside in the old fields of Boaz, where Boaz went down and grabbed Ruth by the hand and asked her to be his bride. And it was on this night that field became heaven's cathedral. The Bible here says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And now the preacher was in the pulpit, and he's about to speak, and the clouds were shining with the glorious light of his presence. And the Lord himself opens his heart, and with his voice begins to speak. Wow. That would have been some service, don't you think? Now, I want you to think with me this morning about the subject, when the angels were gone. Now, let's take just a few minutes here and let's go back to the service. And I want to point out just two things, and then we're going to come back when I get to the end, and we're going to talk about when the angels were gone. What then? But let's go back to the service, and let's get a little better understanding of what really was happening here. There are two things I want you to notice. First of all, and I've already mentioned this, but I want to dwell on it. I want you to notice that the preacher in the service is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I want you to notice how fitting it is that when he stood to speak, it was during the darkness of the night. It was nighttime when the Lord stood to speak. You know, folks, when it is the darkest, that's when the light is needed the most. And that's when the light shines the most. And certainly, the world was in a dark place on the night that the Lord Jesus himself stood to announce his own birth as the light of the world. And so, let me ask you this question. Why should we care what the preacher has to say here? Why should any of us care? We should care because the preacher is not from around here. Amen? He's not from around here. I mean, he comes from a place where uncertainty gives way to certainty. The preacher that is standing in our text to speak, I'm telling you, you need to pay attention to him. He has been trained in the seminary of eternity. He is not like men today who have learned their theology at the feet of other men. No, when this one stood to speak, he was trained at the feet of the eternal God of heaven. So I think he ought to be paid attention to. You say, well, Pastor, why? Having been trained of the Father, I submit to you, he knows the mind of the Father. He understands the beginning from the end. He knows the Father's heart. He understands the Father's plan. So when he stands to speak, oh, we ought to pay attention to what he has to say. But not only does he understand the mind of God, but he understands the needs of men. So certainly, his sermon is worth our while to pay attention to. And these shepherds certainly paid attention. Not a one of them fell asleep when all this was going on. You know, I've noticed through the years that my sermons work on some of you like a sedative. Oh, I've noticed that. Pastor Ray told me after the early service this morning out in the hallway, he said, I'm going to change your name. I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah, I'm going to give you a Jewish name, an Israeli name. And I said, oh, yeah, what's that? Ben Adril. That's a good Jewish name. Ben Adril. Applications for new soul winning director are being taken at this time. And you know, I was thinking maybe some of you ought to order CDs of the sermons that I preach here and then play them on your nightstand, for if they work as good in church, they ought to work on your nightstand as well. I mean, they work when you're sitting in the pews. Why not when you're laying in the bed? Amen. You might get more rest. So the Son of God stood to speak. Wow. Now let's think about, what's he say? Look at his message, folks. It's so brief. It's so to the point. But his voice rings out loud and clear for the shepherds to hear without straining even a little. And what does he say? Well, look at your Bible. He says, first of all, fear not. Boy, that's a message for today, isn't it? Fear not. The gospel message is not a warning that brings fear or dread. There is nothing in the gospel that should make anyone afraid. The message of the gospel brings gladness. It brings joy to the heart. It brings sure comfort to every person who hears it and receives it. And this message, fear not, be not afraid, was again and again and again on the lips of our Savior. You go through the Gospels and just notice how many times the Lord Jesus said to this disciple or to the group of the disciples or to a group of people, fear not. It was something he said all the time. When the storm was raging and the disciples thought that they were going to capsize and drowned in the sea, he stood up and said, "Fear not." And then he calmed the raging storm. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, old and alone, and no doubt afraid, when he was in poor health, suddenly on the Lord's day, the Bible says that Jesus showed up, and the first thing out of our Lord's mouth to John was, "Fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." You see, the Lord Jesus is the antidote against fear in the midst of all the troubles in our world. I have folks say to me all the time, "Pastor, I am fearful of living in this old evil world today. I fear for my children. I fear for my grandchildren." And there are multitudes of people who are living every single day of their life in fear for the condition that our world is in. But let me ask you something, Christian. Do you know the Savior? And if you do know the Savior, listen to his words over and over to those that are living in the darkness of the night. And his words are, "Fear not." Why should we not be afraid? Well, he goes on to tell us why. He said, "For I bring you good tidings of great joy." What are tidings? It's news. News. People ask, "Did you hear the good news?" And when they will tell you something wonderful that just happened, that's good news. Those are good tidings. And you know, people just love telling others good news. When I pastored at Dixie, that's just a little tiny community. There were only 300 people that lived in what was called Dixie. That little sign at the edge of town, and it said Dixie, unincorporated. That means there's no law enforcement, no city council. That was it, just 300 people living in Dixie. Had a road, and people lived on either side if you could get a house squeezed in between the road and the bottom of the mountain. And that was it. And everybody knew everybody. And we spent 6 years. I cut my pastoring teeth in that church. And I have nothing but the fondest of memories of them. And we had a fellow in our church. His name was Tom. And Tom was a talker. Tom loved to play the piano. He taught himself to play the piano. He came in one day and said, "You know, I think I can play that thing." And he sat down, and sure enough, he could. He didn't read music. You could just say, "Tom, play such and such." And he would say, "Well, I don't think I know that song." And so you'd start singing it, and he would know the key you were in, and he would start playing the song. He had an amazing ability, amazing gift. But Tom always was talking. And every time you saw him, he'd say, "Did you hear what happened? Did you hear the news?" He had to be the first to tell you. That's just the way he was. And he would always come in. First thing he would say, "Did you hear what happened? Did you hear the news?" And we were having a men's fellowship meeting one night. All the men would get together once a month, and we'd sing and go around the room praying and just have a good time. And Tom came in, and he always played the piano at the men's fellowship meeting. And first thing he said when he walked in the door, "Hey, did you guys hear the news?" And we all turned, "No, Tom, what?" He'd tell us what he had heard. And so he was hanging up his coat, and one of the other men looked over at me, and he smiled and he said, "You know, old Tom would be perfectly willing to die if he could only get to tell everybody about it after it happened." And oh, we laughed and laughed and laughed. But that was Tom. Now, folks, if you like telling good news and publishing glad tidings, you ought to get in on the gospel. It's the only news I know of that stays eternally fresh. The headlines in the Carroll County Times this morning, they're already ancient history. But the gospel story, it's always right up to date. It's a story that never grows old. It never gets outdated. It doesn't ever need updated. It doesn't ever need an upgrade. And it gives a life-giving message that is always as fresh as a summer shower. So the Lord Jesus, the author of the gospel, is the one that preached the message. And now, secondly, I want you to notice the wonderful promises that are in this message. He announced to them that he was bringing good tidings of great joy. Ma'am, what a privilege it is to always be able to tell good tidings. You know, the news we hear today, it's not always good news, is it? Truth is, most of what we hear today is not good news. Every now and then you'll be watching the news and it'll get towards the top of the hour and the broadcast is almost over. And then whoever's speaking, giving the news will say, and now here's a story that's not depressing and will put a smile on your face. You know, we don't have those very often, do we? Just about everything you hear is negative and it's bad news. But when the angel of the Lord showed up, it was good news. Why? Because of the promises that were there. You know, some news we hear is good for one person, but it's bad for another. Some news we hear is good for one, and it's of no interest to another. It was said that D.L. Moody used to talk about how when he was in Chicago, that the governor of Illinois would invite him to come and speak at the prisons around Christmas time. And he enjoyed doing it, for it gave an opportunity to preach the gospel and see a lot of men get saved. And on one occasion, Moody said that when he got to the prison, the governor came in and shook his hand and said, Mr. Moody, I'm going to give you the privilege of announcing the pardon for one of the men in the audience tonight. And Moody was excited about that. He said, wow, I'm going to make someone really happy. And so he had the name in an envelope, and it was announced that Mr. Moody was going to give someone a pardon, a governor's pardon. And so Mr. Moody came up to the platform and he made the announcement that one of the men in the room was going to be released, and he called the man's name. But Moody later said that when the name was read, he could sense a wave of disappointment that just swept across the room. You see, what was good for one man was not good news to hundreds of others who were in the room. But this angel said that this news was great news for everybody. Look at your Bible. Look at what the Bible says. It says that in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to what? All people. Man, that's good to know, isn't it? You see, in the day when Christ was born, men weren't treated very well. Men were, if you were sick or you were helpless or you were poor or you were handicapped in any way, or if you had some kind of an infirmity, you were looked at and looked upon as an outcast and despised by society. But here, the angel of the Lord said, I want you to know that this message that I'm bringing to you is good news for everybody. For the rich and for the poor, for the old and for the young, for the white and for the black, and for the men and for the women, and for the children and for the elderly, for the wise and the unwise, for the learned and the unlearned. Now, this message is for everybody. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. Doesn't matter what you do for a living. Doesn't matter how sick you are or how healthy you are. This message is for everybody. And when you read the Gospels, you see in all four of them the Lord Jesus going out and just sharing this message with everyone. It didn't matter. He wasn't looking for a certain kind of person. He wasn't even looking specifically for Jewish people. Oh, he gave the gospel to every man. Why? Because that's who it's designed for. It's designed for all people. It's for the children. It's for moms and dads. And the preacher here said that the good tidings that he is delivering are for all men. That means, dear friend, the gospel is for you. It's for you. Now, what is this good news? What is this good? What are these good tidings? Some of us would never guess what the news is. Some of us do not even believe it when we're told what the news is. But I'm sure that when the angel of the Lord spoke it, he knew what he was talking about, don't you? And here it is. Here's the good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the good news right there, folks. A Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. This is why we celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas just to decorate the room. We don't celebrate Christmas just to give gifts. No, we celebrate Christmas because a Savior is born. A Savior. Did you hear that? You say, Pastor, why is that such good news? Why is that such good tidings? I'll tell you why. Because that's exactly what all of us need. We need a Savior. I needed one. You needed one. We all need a Savior. You say, well, Pastor, why do I need a Savior? Here's why. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why you need a Savior. You're a sinner. So am I. Sinners need a Savior from sin. And the Lord Jesus announced that he is that Savior. And this is such good news. Because, hey, we're all in that sinner category. And that's why Christmas is such a wonderful, special time. We give gifts to honor and celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given when God gave us the gift of eternal life by sending his Son into the world as our Savior. Short message, don't you think? But wow, is it loaded with what you and I need. It is a powerful sermon. And I want you to notice that as soon as the announcement was made, as soon as the preacher delivered what he came to say, the sermon was over. And then the choir stood to sing and to rejoice. And a choir from a land where everybody sings, and where every song is a song of praise and thanksgiving to a loving and merciful God. And now, let's go back to the introduction and go back to the sermon title. Look at verse 15 again. Look carefully at that 15th verse. After the sermon was over, after the choir sang the benediction, in verse 15, it says that the angels were gone away from them. Now, question, folks. What are these shepherds going to do now? You see, this is the key. They're at an hour of decision. They're at an hour of crisis. They have just stood on that hillside and watched heaven become reality. They have just stood on that hillside and witnessed the Son of God Himself. They just stood on that hillside and saw all of heaven rejoicing over the fact that Christ had come. But now it's gone. It's dark again. The stars are twinkling again. They still standing, their mouths are wide open. And they stare into the darkness. Can you picture them in your mind's eye? One by one, they turn and look at each other. What are you going to do now, boys? What are you going to do now? Now that you know the truth, what are you going to do with it? That's a sobering question, is it not? So, what are they going to do? They've heard the sermon, they've heard the choir, and no doubt they're standing there in total awe, just looking at one another. So what are they going to do with the truth that has been revealed to them? And God bless them. For look at your Bible, it tells you what they did. They turned and looked at one another and they said, "Let us go. Let us put this gospel to the test." And they did. And they came and found Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus lying in a manger. You see, here's the point, folks. They acted upon what they heard. Now, how about you this morning? Will you act upon the good news that you heard here this morning? When they heard the preaching in the choir, they acted on it. They came to Jesus. And you have heard the preaching. Oh, it's not near as good. It took me 45 minutes. The Lord did this in just a couple of sentences. But He's a whole lot better preacher than I am. The choir, angels. Well, we had a bunch of sinners. They sung well, don't get me wrong. But this preacher this morning and this choir this morning, same truth. Same truth. I'm sorry you had to put up with me and not the Lord. And I wish the angels would have come and showed us how to do it. But folks, it's the same truth. Same gospel, same story. And when the angels were gone, all right, now, what did they do? And that's what I want to ask you this morning. What are you going to do with what you have been given? They said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And they did. And then in verse 17, it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They couldn't keep it to themselves. They left Bethlehem and probably made a beeline to the temple in Jerusalem and said, "Hey, we have seen the King." And told everybody they could. about the good news. So what are you going to do with it? How about you? Will you act upon the good news that you have been given here this morning?